This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. You can't have plant-based breakfast without a plant-based egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/HRN.
This episode is brought to you by Diageo Bar Academy. Learn more at DiageoBarAcademy.com. That's Diageo BarAcademy.com.
This week on Meat & Three, we're celebrating the food culture of South Carolina with its chef ambassadors.
Oh, I'm super excited that it's soft shell crab season. Those little suckers are delicious.
People think, oh, tomato is a tomato. No, there is a good tomato and a bad tomato. So when they come to Hampton or even, you know, even in South Carolina, you can really find incredible ingredient.
We started getting lettuce from Micro Leon Farms in Conway. It's a super sweet family that runs that little farm.
Tune in to Meat & Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Greg, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty damn good. How are you?
You know, I think that for the first time in quite some time, I'm feeling a bit more hopeful than I have been. There's been some drips of news that have come out that are starting to show the sun also rises.
Yes, yes. And I think that's why I'm doing pretty damn good, because it does feel in a lot of ways that I'm no longer... Whenever I get a notification on my phone, whenever I feel it buzz in my pocket and I see it's from the New York Times, I don't have the thought of like, oh, fuck, what now? You know? and just the other night, I got a really great alert that Cuomo chips are a thing of the past. Restaurants are no longer going to be required to serve a meal or a meal with drinks, because, you know, I guess people finally realize that the fine line between responsible imbibing and anarchy is not, in fact, one slice of American cheese between two pieces of Wonder Bread.
Yeah, I think we were dealing a lot with some of the same stuff that was going on with the laws that led up to the beginning of Prohibition. You know, the hotel law. So bars put a cot in the back of the room so they could claim that they were a hotel. The law about food, where they would just have a single sandwich that they would just pass around. It would be moldy and crusty and no one would eat it. You just had to have it on offer. Many bars here in New York City offered, you know, just as you said, two slices of Wonder Bread and a slice of Kraft American cheese. And I definitely went to a bar in my neighborhood early on where they would take it back from you if you didn't eat it and sell it to the next guy. It was in a plastic bag, you know, it was in a zip top bag. As long as you didn't open it, they were like, yeah, this is the one we just hand out and take back.
As long as you don't open it or sneeze on it. My personal favorite, and I'm not going to name names, but I did go to a bar that was serving a cup of gazpacho, which was a plastic ramekin full of Bloody Mary mix.
That's getting around it. You know, back in my time in Atlanta, where, you know, it's actually similar to New York, we still have it too, a blue law where you can't drink until afternoon on Sundays, but we served brunch, right? So we were open before that. So I was at a place where we served chilled tomato vodka soup in a bowl with ice and a straw. so we got around it that way.
And a sprig of celery, you know, for vitamins.
Of course. So that's great news. You're right. And that came out last night. And just today, I wake up to see this beginning May 3rd, which is just around the corner next week. We can seat at the bar proper. Right. So you can sit at the bar.
Yes.
Hang out with chat with a bartender, live person making you a drink, hopefully. And then on the May 17th, the midnight outdoor dining area curfew for bars and restaurants will be lifted. And then following shortly on May 31st, the midnight indoor area curfew will be lifted. So we can go back to, quote unquote, bar hours. We don't have to be like, well, it's 11 o'clock. Everybody go home.
Get out.
I'm a little... there's part of me that's happy to hear it. There's also part of me that's kind of gotten used to this early night situation. So I don't know how excited I am to hear that the curfews are lifted, but I'm certainly glad to see that the trend is headed towards, getting back to business. I won't say normal because I think we've beaten that horse enough, right? We don't want to go back to normal. Their normal wasn't great. We're trying to strive for better, but at least we can get back to business.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sort of conflicted about this because, you know, obviously we, you know, people, we, everyone who's over 16 in New York State is able to get vaccinated. That's amazing. So obviously,
on a walk-in basis now, you can just walk in. You don't have to make an appointment anymore. I think that's important to note. It's all walk-in now. Just go. Get it done.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, hopefully the people that are making these laws are taking that into account and taking, you know, they're looking into the future a little bit and trying to see, okay, like this could be safe. Also, maybe Andrew Cuomo's trying to win back a few fans. I don't know. That's also a possibility that we can't discount. But, you know, there's also, it makes me wary right now when I look at what the COVID numbers are in the New York area, but it also fills me with a little bit of hope that, okay, I don't think that this would happen if it was a completely bad idea. Like, could there potentially be setbacks? Could there potentially be, you know, a rethinking of this down the line? Absolutely. And I would hope that that was undertaken with public safety, the safety of us, the safety of our guests at the heart of everyone's interest. But it also speaks to the fact that, hey, the people who are following this and have all the data and know more than I do see a future where I'm not going to have to, you know, sit behind several walls of plexiglass and not be able to sit at the bar, which I miss so much. And I'm very, very excited that the time that I get to do that again is right around the corner.
Yeah, I think it's going to be freeing. It's going to be a lot of good news for people. And, you know, I think it's also timely. The weather is breaking. I think it's supposed to get into the 80s today here in New York City, which is incredible given the cold snap that we just had. So I think that even though the ability to go back indoors is imminent, now the ability to be outdoors is much more comfortable. So I think that it'll increase revenue flow for all these struggling businesses, including mine, that have been really, you know, hampered by this situation. You know, we can start to, I don't know if breathe easier is the right term, given that we're, you know, we're still wearing masks, but
I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole, man.
Yeah. But get to the place where we can, start at least having conversations regarding the word that we've kind of avoided for a year now, profitability.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say normal.
No. We're scratch normal. Normal we don't want. Remember, we want to go to something new. But you know, the real goal as a business is to finally be able to at least start talking about the notion of profitability. We've been in this limbo for over a year now, where we are simply operating at break even, if not loss, on every single day that we open, and we can't sustain that. You know, at some point you have to either surrender or start winning. And hopefully this is just the sign that we're going to start winning and we can come back to life.
Absolutely. And unfortunately we don't have Damon here to offer the sunshiny perspective, but I'm in a sunshiny enough mood today, so I can say it. I think this is going to be a great summer, man. I think that people are so tired of making their own cocktails at home and so tired of not being able to be around other human beings without fearing for their own mortality. And, you know, I say this as someone who is fortunate enough to get vaccinated very, very early, but the weight that it takes off of your mind to be able to re-enter society in a more safe way than I was able to for a year is huge. And I think once we get a critical mass of people in the city who have that and can do it safely and responsibly, I think people are going to go crazy.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways you're right. And you're right, that shoulder lifting burden coming off you once you've been vaccinated, because I haven't mentioned it because I've felt a little awkward about it, frankly. But as of yesterday, I am fully vaccinated and past the 2 weeks of post-vaccination waiting time. And it is somewhat of a relief to think that, I've made myself safer and hopefully made society safer as a whole.
That's amazing. And yeah, I guess my invitation to your debutante coming out party must have gotten lost in the mail, but you know, once email me the details after the show, I'll make sure I get there.
Yeah, we'll circle back.
Well, speaking of reopening and sort of coming up with good ways to put the world back together and approach something that is better than the normal we left behind a year and change ago, joining us in the studio today, we have Mark Barrett of Diageo Bar Academy, who also is a former professional magician who performed for Steven Spielberg at the premiere Jurassic Park, which is an amazing tidbit that I didn't know when else that was going to come up in the podcast. So I wanted to make sure we're not going to make you talk about magic. I want to talk about drinks. I want to talk about education. I want to talk about learning, but the public had to know.
Hey there, guys. Great to be with you.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome all the way from London. Another out of country guest. Like I said, off air. You know, it's been a small silver lining to the pandemic times that during this time we've been able to have more and more people on from all over the world on shorter notice than we used to because we're no longer live in studio.
But really, it's great to be here. Just great. Listening to you guys talking about what's been going on there, the chips. I guess that was just like the food thing, the creative way that the bar industry got around. And the UK, we were the same. I mean, looking at some of the, I know of a particular group where they never sold food. And they were told, you know, our amazing Prime Minister, he told everyone, you can open up, but you have to sell some food. So they started selling like microwave frankfurters. So they like rented a couple of those rolling, you know, those rolling machines with the frankfurters at the back of the cinema.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't sell any. They had the same packet on all night, similar to what you were saying, Greg. But, you know, it was so, I mean, if anyone says the bar industry is not creative, then, you know, let's have a word with that person, because I think this has shown the resilience and the creativity that when everyone puts their mind together, it's like, right, we're going to do this.
And I love the fact that, because you're right, that's something that we were talking about here that I've seen very much in New York and I've heard about happening all over the world, is that people will install these things, but it's understood by them and by their clientele that this isn't a means to cook food. This is a prop. That's all this is. This is just part of the production design of the new normal that we have to live in. Yep. If you look at this rolling hot dog and think, well, that looks delicious, then you're welcome to it, I guess.
I'm going to get that Manhattan now.
And yes, this will pair really nicely with a jungle bird. And you were talking before we got on air that pubs are starting to open back up in London too, and I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah,
about
so how it, that you know is, what it's been fantastic to see. So similar to what you guys were saying, you know, we were locked down. Funnily enough, I know the date off the top of my head because I found a receipt in a pair of jeans which actually don't fit anymore, but I found a receipt.
Yeah, that COVID-19.
I found a receipt which was the last meal I'd had out, which was on the 14th of December, and I'd gone into town. I live very central, so I was in Soho, and that was my. And I found this receipt, and I was like, "Wow, that was my last meal out." So we opened up 2 weeks ago. Only outside, only up to six people, only from two households, but you know, it's six people as long as you're outside. We now don't have to have food. You can just actually go and have a drink. But it's been amazing to see once again, the creativity of outlets that literally have three, four tables at the front. And, you know, we're not in Miami here. We've got the great British weather, which, thank everything, the weather gods have been on our side. So we've actually had, I mean, it's been cold, but it's been bright and non-rainy. So today I'm talking to you from my office in the garden and it's pouring down with rain. Today's the first day of rain. So we've had the on-trade have had about 2.5 weeks of like really good trading, which has just been really great to see. You know, you walk down your high street and it's buzzing again. It's like, oh, thank you. Yeah, so it's good.
Right. Right, to just see people out on the streets, out and about, and you know, moving around, life. You know, the sort of the anthill that we're used to watching, you know, in cities like New York and London, teeming with life again.
I mean, they're all shivering, but you know, they're out. I mean, if I had worked for like an outdoor heating company, you know, the outdoor gas heaters and gazebos, I wish I'd put some money into that. But yeah, no. So it's all good. Great to see it. I think we've got another 2 weeks to go, and then we'll be able to dine inside. Subject to everything going well, but we're doing really well with the vaccinations. So yeah, touch wood, all is good.
Yeah, touch wood indeed. Talk to me a little bit about your time that you were in South Africa. What were you doing in that part of the world for as long as you were there?
I actually worked in Nigeria for 2.5 years and then in South Africa for 2 years. So I've been working with Diageo. So I've been working with Diageo coming in. This is my 20th year. And yeah, there was an opportunity that came up, and I went and lived out in Nigeria first. Came back to the UK, and then an opportunity arose in South Africa, in Cape Town. So Nigeria is a fantastic country, but it's not known for its beaches. Let's put it like that. I mean, it's a great, it's fantastic. The people are fantastic. I love the food, I love the culture. But beaches and great, hot, beautiful sunshine. I mean, it was hot, but beautiful sunshine, maybe not. So an opportunity came up in Cape Town, and I took it. So, and again, it was working with Diageo Bar Academy. But I was living in Cape Town, traveling to other parts of Africa, well, all over Africa. Great place. Fantastic bars, fantastic nightlife, restaurants amazing, seafood amazing, and their bar culture has really come up. It's fantastic to see.
Yeah, really taken off. We've had a few guests on from that part of the world as well, and it's been pretty fascinating to hear the things that are going on over there. What were you doing with Diageo Bar Academy?
So I'm responsible for Diageo Bar Academy in Africa, and as my role has just changed around, at one point the company thought, and I thought it would be a great idea to be actually living and working in Africa whilst doing what I did. So that was it. So it was... you know, traveling into countries like Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, Mozambique, from Cape Town, which was, you know, fantastic experience. And funnily enough, it's actually, everyone thinks, it must have been so much easier for you to get to all those countries. It actually wasn't, but I loved it at the same time.
What's the engagement like there? Like how are bars engaging with sort of the new trends that are going on all over the world, and how are they getting that information
in South Africa or just Africa in total?
Yeah.
In general. I think South Africa tend to be at the forefront of, you know, taking trends. You know, they've had a couple of bars in the world's top bars. They've had, there's, you know, several competitors from world class, Diageo is world class. So they take the trends, and I think the rest of Africa kind of look at South Africa. But as I say that, I would say that's how it was maybe 5-6 years ago. Now we're starting to see a real trend of market countries like, you know, Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, Ghana, who have all started to, you know, within all these cities, you know, it's a smaller universe of outlets that are, I don't know, super trendy, where you've got like fantastic drinks being served. Sort of, when I say fun, you've got lots of outlets serving great drinks, but you know, that sort of top 5%, top 3% of those bars that are just like the place, the trend setting place. And they're now starting to come, they're now starting to emerge, a lot more of them. So if I look back to say 3-4 years ago in a country like Nigeria or Ghana, you'd probably have maybe 3 of those kind of outlets that everyone was aspiring to be. Now that is just starting to go through the roof, and the bar trade, the on-trade professionals now are seeing that they've actually, there's something that they can aspire to. And it's not just countries like South Africa or the UK or America, or you know, where they're seeing these bartenders come out of, they're actually seeing homegrown talent. I think that really makes a difference. Really makes a difference. So it's fantastic to see. It's really good to see.
That's fantastic. And yeah, it really reminds me of something that's happened even over the past decade here in the United States, where, you know, I remember back in the day, you'd look at the, you know, 50 best list, or like the nominees for best cocktail bar at Tails, and it would be New York City, Chicago, yeah. New York City. And then maybe someone from Dallas or something would sneak in. You'd be like, they must be doing something really special. And now it's, you know, you can go to really small market cities and see that there are people who are making drinks that are just as good as the ones you can find in New York or New Orleans or San Francisco or Seattle. And I think that's awesome, because it shows that it's not some, you know, secretly guarded magic spell we learn from runes or whatever. It's a craft that
anybody can do
if they're passionate about it.
There was a guy from Ghana, went to Tails, I think 3 years ago. He was the first African to ever actually go to Tails. Can you imagine what repercussion that had when he went back to Ghana? I mean, he's treated like a celebrity, but for the rest of Africa as well, they're like, wow, you know, that is something. You know, this young Ghanaian kid from the village goes to Tails. I mean,
sure, and I'm certain all the you know, information and knowledge that he brought back, and hopefully shared with his colleagues there, and also just sort of showing that bit of you know, like, look, this can be done, we can do this, right? All you need in life, I think, are examples, and once you have an example, you can mimic and make something of your own. That's pretty incredible. I didn't hear or read about that. That's pretty great.
Yeah,
to be the first. From your entire country, I think, from the continent.
I may sound corrected, but I think he was pretty from the continent. He was the first to ever go.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And that's kind of been, I think maybe this would be a good point to backtrack, because we were throwing around your job a little bit, but a lot of what you do is sort of, you know, sharing these techniques and these ideas, and really, you know, helping to bring it to bring, you know, this thing that we call making cocktails all over the world. Talk to us a little bit about Diageo Bar Academy, sort of what it is, how it got started, and how you got to be involved.
So DiageoBarAcademy.com it's an inspirational, but it's educational. It's a resource for everyone and anyone who either works in or who wants to work in a bar or bar, restaurant, hospitality industry. It's there to offer resource and skills for anyone. And, you know, there are countries where there's face-to-face training, but there's a lot of online training. There's loads of self-serve sort of training or modules that people can go through. I mean, there's so much. I mean, we could actually sit here for like an hour talking about what's on there, but you know, there's like e-learning modules, there's inspiration from, you know, guest contributors from around the world, and I think that's what's great about it. So DiageoBarAcademy.com is obviously, it's global, so you could be in Accra in Ghana or Alabama. You could be in Kansas, or you could be in Kenya. You could be in Manchester or Michigan. You, like, no matter where you are, you could log on, sign up, you know, and just like take loads of learning, loads of inspiration, and better yourself. And I think, you know, what's been amazing, or, you know, really positive to see, and we were talking earlier about like the positives that have come out of this COVID crisis, has been, you know, one of the positives has been there have been a lot of people sitting at home with not much to do. So, you know, DiageoBarAcademy.com really stepped into that place of trying to offer, you know, virtual training, and we saw our numbers really go through the roof of people just wanting to hear, you know, podcasts like this, you know, talking to you know, guest speakers from around the world, famous bartenders, influencers, you know, all sorts. So it's been an interesting journey, and I think this pandemic has probably shaped it a little bit, because we've had so much more new content to put in and new stuff to think about, you know, like health and well-being, you know, how do you look after yourself? You know, this is an industry, and I think I've read both of your biogs, and you know, we've worked in this industry. It can be quite a grueling industry, you know, so health and well-being, how do you look after yourself? How do you take that time to look after yourself? Or how do you actually start thinking about you know, your leadership and negotiation skills, or your communication and teamwork, or selling your actual brand, you know, your personal brand. So, you know, it's not just a website which is just going to talk to you about like drinks. You know, we're talking about like selling your personal brand, or you know, like I say, your well-being, or you know, communications and stuff. So yeah, it's been a really interesting journey, and you know, with over one, I think it's, I get the numbers wrong, but it's well over 1 million users worldwide, and that number is like growing. So yeah, it's fantastic. And it's free. And it's free. It's free.
Well, that's amazing.
Did I say it's free?
And it's free. I do. Yeah. I do like free. That's amazing. And I love that you're sort of taking that very holistic approach to what bartending is, because I think that was something that was really, you know, that was something that was becoming a big focus even in the years before the pandemic, sort of at the last couple years of the previous decade. You would see more like yoga classes or like alcohol-free smoothie lounges or whatever at parties, which you would never see when I first started going to cocktail conferences, which I thought was good. But I also think that as an industry, we have a tendency to maybe get swept up in trends and really chase after the next shiny thing. So like, you know, we knew that we should be focusing on ourselves and our health and wellness, but then, you know, someone
like mixology, like, let's learn about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Liquid nitrogen.
I know I've done a triple shift, but I'm going to learn liquid nitrogen now. What could possibly go wrong?
And I think this forced sabbatical that we've all been on over the past year has been an opportunity to, you know, kind of get back to basics and focus on, you know, focus on making sure that our fundamentals and our skills are right and where they should be, but also on, you know, what we need to arm ourselves with in terms of knowledge and of our craft and knowledge of ourselves for when we 100%. Go back behind the bar to make sure that when we do it, we 100%. Can do it right. You know?
And I think also 100% I agree with that. It's not just about, this is a bourbon, this is a whiskey, you know, great, we know that. But, you know, going back into, you know, outlets have been closed for so long. You know, people, you know, you forget things. So it's about refreshing those skills. And I think what's also great is we don't just do it in one same format. So we've got podcasts, we have events, we have short, like bite-sized videos, newsletters, blogs, interviews, trends, tips, tricks, you know, so it's all, you know, so even if you're just on the tube or the bus, on the subway, as you guys call it, you've got 10 minutes, you can, you know, have a quick listen to a 10 minute podcast or a quick like bite-sized learning video, which is cool as well, because everybody learns in a different way. You know, you don't, this is how you make a Manhattan, this is how you'd make a, you know, so it's not that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I love that it's in a really, you know, informative but digestible format, so that, you know, it's not the sort of thing where like in order to learn this you have to clear your calendar for an hour and sit down at the seminar. You know, you can do it, like you said, if you're just on the bus to work or a friend's place, or even God forbid
going to your
soon,
shift.
Maybe.
Coming
soon.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Well, we're going to take a quick break here and hear from some of our sponsors, but we're going to be back in just a second with Mark Barrett from Diageo Bar Academy. Stay tuned.
Hey,
Just Egg is now the fastest growing egg brand in the United States. Bring more plant-based consumers in your doors with easy-to-use Just Egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn. That's ju.st/hrn. Made from plants, Just Egg is a better egg for you and for the planet. It's healthier, with no cholesterol and less saturated fat, and it's more sustainable. Just Egg uses less water and generates fewer carbon emissions. Most importantly, it's delicious. For our listeners who operate a food service establishment, you can get a sample for free. Head to ju.st/hrn. That's ju.st/hrn. Just Egg makes a delicious plant-based addition to any menu. It's available as a liquid scramble, great for omelets, frittatas, stir fries, and French toast. There's also a frozen pre-baked folded version that's ideal for filling breakfast sandwiches or topping salads. Chef Jose Andres calls Just Egg mind-blowing, and Bon Appetit says, "It's so good, I feel guilty eating it." Put the fastest-growing egg brand on your menu. Get a free sample of Just Egg for your restaurant at ju.st/hrn.
Whether you're a bartender, barback, manager, or if you're completely new to the industry, Diageo Bar Academy has easy-to-access resources to help you learn new skills or stay in the loop with all the latest industry trends. Greg, what are you seeing as industry trends as we reemerge from the pandemic?
Well, in addition to wearing masks and getting vaccinated, let me look into the old crystal ball here that I keep next to me for all the recordings of the speakeasy. My theory, and I could be completely wrong about this because I famously whiffed on sparkling cider 3 summers ago, but what I see happening is I think that there's going to be it's going to be the summer of classics. I think you're going to see a lot of margaritas. I think you're going to see a lot of daiquiris. I think you're going to see the occasional Manhattan martini old fashioned out there, because I think people are just really excited to come out to bars again. I think that's the trend. I think the trend is going to be going out to bars and getting reacquainted with all of these drinks that, you know, people have been missing for the past year. And
I think I agree. I think it's almost like comfort food, but it's comfort drinks. People are going to go to the sort of the comfortable, the easy to recognize, and the easy to imbibe. I think also, through all this, batched cocktails, bottled cocktails, cocktails to go, delivery cocktails are going to be on the rise as well.
Absolutely. I think that that's going to be a big thing. I think people have really liked being able to get their favorite drinks to go, and I think that's going to stick around for a while. And fortunately for us and for everybody else in this industry, Diageo Bar Academy has lots of great courses about just that, about building out a really great to-go program, not only figuring out how to make the drinks, but how to track your delivery services, how to track your to-go orders, and how to monetize your online inventory and sales.
Yeah, it's a wealth of resources, and it's all available for free to anyone. Stay informed, inspired, and connected to grow your career or business by joining Diageo Bar Academy today. That's DIAGEO baracademy.com. Become a member and sign up for the newsletter today. It's completely free, and you'll be amazed at all they have to offer. I highly recommend you go check it out.
Amen.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy here on Heritage Radio Network. Today in our virtual studio, we're hosting Mark Barrett, the Global Bar Academy Manager for Diageo Bar Academy. And we were just talking about your time down in Africa, and now we want to talk a little bit more about the benefits of the Diageo Bar Academy in general, and how you go about getting all of this great free education.
Yeah, I've actually got a few top 3 tips for anyone listening, so don't tell anyone, but no, I have 3 top tips that if anyone wants to like get involved, which why wouldn't you, like we said earlier, it's free, and you've got all this stuff. I mean, seriously, have a quick look and come back and say, actually no, we didn't find something we enjoyed. So my 3 top tips to your listeners, exclusive. So sign up for the membership. So just log on to www.diageo.com. sign up. Again, like I say, it's free. Sign up for the newsletter as well. We do not spam you. We do not bombard you. So you get the newsletters. These newsletters have been, we've had feedback from people throughout this pandemic that have just been like, these newsletters felt that, you know, if I felt like I was connected, you know, you feel part of the community. And take the time to jump on an e-learning. There are so many modules there, you know, bar skills. I was talking earlier about life skills. So it's not even just bar stuff, you know, like I was saying, you know, selling your personal brand. You know, if you're moving from an outlet, maybe your outlet unfortunately has closed and you're looking for a new role, you know, you need to work on your CV. You know, these are things that can help. So yeah, so sign up for so first of all, become a member, definitely sign up for a newsletter, and take an e-learning, because they're fun, they're quick, and like I say, you can do it on your way on the subway or something. So those are my three top tips that I thought I would share with you, Sather and Greg.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah, so I think the ones that are most interesting to me, and I think are most sort of valuable to you know, younger bartenders or up and comers in the field, are the ones you just mentioned, sort of like how to build your own brand, how to create a better portrait of yourself so that you can get out there and market yourself, and then beyond that, I think those would be the first steps that I would go through as a younger bartender, and then beyond that, it's the learning and the educational aspects. You can build upon that, and you can keep adding to that CV 100%. That you make look so sparkly, right? Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this then, because I always sort of have a moment whenever I join an online class or forum or something like this, something that I've dipped my toe into a little bit over the past year, is like, I still get a little overwhelmed when it's almost a little bit like stepping into a carnival where all of a sudden everything is like free. Talk to me a little bit about what people will see when they first log into your website, when they first create an account. Where do they go? Because I've sort of dipped my toe into a lot of these kind of online courses, online festivals, online conferences over the past year. And it feels a little bit like it's like walking into a carnival where all of a sudden there are these bright flashing lights and everything's kind of trying to get your attention. So what are people going to see,
so
and where should they go first?
The first thing they're going to see is the age gate. So we obviously, if you're dialing in or logging in from the States, we obviously need to see that you're above legal, 21 in the States. So that's the first thing you're going to see.
Makes sense.
Then what I would suggest is to sign up. So you're going to see a login or a sign up button. If you sign up, you get to be part of like the whole community. So you could sign up, like I said earlier, totally free. We just need a few little details from you. And then it's the world is your oyster. So you could then navigate your way through. If you want to see what some cool trends or inspiration are over in the UK, or you want to know a bit more about your liquid, so maybe you're not so up with your bourbons and you'd like to know a bit more about bourbon, you could go into know your liquid. If you want to understand a bit more, maybe you're a senior bar professional or a bar manager or owner, you could click on profitability. So we talk about profitability, and you guys were talking about that earlier, and fingers crossed that we all go back into, or all of our on-trade buddies go back into profitability soon. So, I mean, even now more than ever, you know, coming out of this pandemic reopening, you know, that would be a really useful one to have a look at. You know, we've got a hygiene and safety thing there. So there's tons of really easy to navigate way through the tabs. And then my biggest piece would go in, like, have a look at this. So it says training. So you click into the training and it will take you into like some of the different e-learning. So there's, like I said, you've got the e-learning, you've got quizzes, you've got the different bunch of our courses that we do. We've got downloadable tools and assets. So, you know, from recipe cards to, you know, like a checklist for opening and closing. So you could click into meeting our experts. So, I mean, there, like I said, we could be here for the whole evening talking about it, because there is just tons in there. But yeah, like I said, I think that my three top tips, you know, just sign up, become the member, sign up to the newsletter, and take an e-learning, have a go at it. It's fun, it's informative, and you can do it at your own time as well. And you get certificates as well. Did I mention you get certificates? And they're free as well. Yeah, everyone Ooh, loves fun. A certificate. But yeah, so
suitable for framing, I assume, absolutely. Right?
So, I mean, what is not to love? So, yeah, so that's what they'll see. Check it out. And but I hear you. Like, sometimes you can go on these things, and it's a bit like a rabbit in headlights. Like, which way do I look? Where, like, do I go there or do I go there? I'm like, oh my god, there's so much information, and there is a lot of information on this, but it's all really yeah. clearly, beautifully laid out. And yeah, I think people will enjoy it.
That's fantastic. I also want to make a quick note for our listeners here about why Souther got so quiet. Unfortunately, we had an internet issue and he had to jump out a little bit early. One of the downsides of having your virtual studio encompass the entire globe is that sometimes, despite the fact that you can podcast from anywhere, sometimes people just can't get in. But that's okay. We're still having a fun time here. And I really wanted to ask you this question about where you see the future of education going for bartenders, because we work in a very bizarre field where when I was managing restaurants and had to hire for a new position, anytime I saw that someone on their resume had listed like Joe's School of Bartending in Queens or whatever, that resume went right into the trash, which yeah. is weird. Like, that qualifications shouldn't be something that weirdly disqualify people. And it's always struck me as kind of a deficiency in this industry that, you know, the mentality is like the only way to learn is on the job.
I mean, I hear you. Like, there is, I think we've kind of moved away from that that mentality of, oh, I must go to this bar school to learn. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with going to those bar schools and going and learning your basics and stuff. And, you know, Diageo Bar Academy, we also do Diageo Bar Academy Essentials, when we do face-to-face trainings, and you learn the basics. But I do think as we move forward and as we progress, the learning journey is down to you. You know, we're all taking, you know, learning has changed so much. It's not just about sitting in a classroom or having someone say to you, this is how to stir, this is how to muddle, this is how to do this, and then that's it, your learning is done and you're good to go and work in a bar. I think it, the onus is, and I think people nowadays are more, the onus is on you to develop yourself, and I think that's why resources like DiageoBarAcademy.com and, you know, even YouTube and things like that, you know, people are going and learning these skills and doing stuff on their own, rather than that old school traditional, I went to that hotel school and they taught me how to serve. You know, it's the onus is more on you if you're going to develop and progress in your career. And I think it's about, like, looking out for these resources and tools at your fingertips. And I think the world is an amazing place now because it is all at our fingertips. So it's about kind of spreading that message of what's out there for you to go and do that for your, on your own.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I hadn't even, you know, when I was making my admittedly somewhat snarky point about bartending schools, I forgot that that's a thing, that actually, like, you can go to a reputable bartending school, not just in the UK, but in lots of other countries in the world. It's really just us that think it's a good idea to run bartending schools where you don't actually work with any liquor. You're just mixing together various different feed colored bottles of water.
But
which
I think that
useless.
I mean, so I hear you, I heard your point. As in, so I think though they serve a purpose and they're great, but I don't think anyone can say, right, I've been to this school, I did 3 days of training, I am now a professional bartender. No. So I think that was the point you were trying to make about the resume, sort of like, yes, I've done this bar school qualification. I passed with flying colors. I did 3 days of training and I'm now a fully fledged bartender. No. you need to come and do some double shifts. Yeah. You need to come and do a bar back shift. You need to work till 2 a.m. You need to take the trash out. You need to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's see how well you can deal with, you know, being
60 on exactly.
Saturday night while the only restroom in your entire bar is out of commission.
And your PDQ then we'll machine's you just gone down, by the way. And now you're going to have to go to manual transactions. And the busboy is now having a drama with his girlfriend, so he's now walked out on shift. Yeah, now let's see how you go on.
Yeah.
They don't actually do that.
No. But I mean, that's kind of the, I guess that's kind of the weird conundrum about like what it means to be an educated bartender, because there does happen to, you know, there's a certain level of controlled chaos that you need to be just in terms of who you are as a human being, capable, if not on some sort of sick way, enjoy dealing with.
I mean, no two... in the bars and clubs and stuff that I ran, no two nights were the same, just for the reasons that we've, like, you know, you never know what was about to happen. Like you said, the restroom has just blocked up, or, you know, someone from the council has just come in and they've decided they want to do a sound check whilst you've just had a hen party of 20 girls come in who are screaming, and the council are coming in, they want to do a sound, you know, no two nights are the same, and no one could prepare you for that. And I think it's the resilience and the kind of the again back to the what we spoke about at the beginning, the creativity, the resilience of being in that industry, that I think makes us all a sucker for loving it so much. I loved it, you know. We all love it.
Well, this is, oh yeah, of course, yeah, because we're all in some way or another at some level adrenaline junkies who thrive on that. But I guess my larger question about the future of education is, you know, for a field like ours, where so much of it is dependent on your ability to think on your feet and deal with unexpected scenarios like that, like what is the future of education? Because, you know, we all agree that needs to be, that there are certain parts of this job that you just can't prepare for. But also, I don't like the idea that the only way to learn is just to for 5 years. So is that, yeah, exactly. So is there a middle ground, and how do we get
that's
to
great
that?
Question. I think reading other people's experiences, learning through that as well. Having a mentor, but you know, reading, you know, about some inspirational people that have been through that and hearing their journey, would help. It's a great question, and I'm not sure I have the full answer.
It's okay. I don't have the answer for it either. I love asking guests to predict the future.
Well, you know,
show.
I was a magician, so funny enough. To do. If you're sitting on an envelope, have you seen the envelope?
I promised I wasn't going to bring it up.
If you open that envelope, there we go.
It says go to DiageoBarAcademy.com. Well, this has been fantastic. And actually, speaking of which, are there any other social media venues that you'd like to plug, or any other extra things about Diageo Bar Academy you'd like to talk about?
We're on Instagram. So we're there. So through Diageo Bar Academy, you can click through and it's all there. So, you know, we actually do some pretty cool Instagram stories. We do some Instagram takeovers. All of them are different. So again, those are nice little bite-sized chunks of, you know, sometimes we'll have an Instagram takeover by, you know, some cool bartender in Amsterdam, or, you know, so it's pretty cool. So definitely worth a check.
That's fantastic. Well, Mark, Barrett from Diageo Bar Academy, thank you so much for joining us. This is education in this field is one of my favorite things to talk about. So thank you so much for sitting down and gazing into the crystal ball a little bit. Thank you so much for joining us from Diageo Bar Academy. Thank you so much for talking to us about the future of education in this field. For more great shows just like this one, you can check out heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart at the top of our homepage to donate. But for now, that's it this week from the Speakeasy. On behalf of me and Souther and Damon, cheers, everybody.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that send. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.